wanted to talk to you about our relationship with God, the influence that we have in his life and our life, and prayer. Now, prayer is a subject people talk about a lot, actually. People want to know about prayer. One guy went to a hospital to have an appendectomy, and as they were getting ready to operate on this guy, he tried to talk them out of it. And when he discovered he wasn't going to be able to avoid the surgery, he said, "Then please call my preacher." And the doctor asked, "What do you want with the preacher?" And he says, "Well, if I must be opened, I want to be opened with prayer." So let's begin this message by opening with prayer. Let's pray. Lord, I ask that you would speak to us today through the scriptures, especially the story of Abraham and how it relates to us and your relationship with us when it comes to how we talk to one another. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I want to talk to you about prayer, but prayer is essentially communication. It's with God. When you say that that's what it is, that's what happens in prayer. We're communicating with God. Prayer, therefore, as we communicate with the Lord, is in many ways similar to just communicating or talking to another person. So today I want to look at prayer as our communication with God, as in all communications that we have with people. There's a very important aspect of relationship that is involved in this. I have a couple of scriptures. If you read with me 2 Timothy 3:16 and then 1 Corinthians 10:11. Here we go. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. Now these things happened to them as a warning, but they were written down for our instruction, upon whom the end of the ages have come. Now, basically, those two scriptures say that scripture, we can use them as for instruction or maybe to change our lives. And they say that all the stories in the Old Testament are given as pictures to teach us principles of living. And with that in mind, I want to show you a picture of prayer today in the life of Abraham, who is really classified as a father of our faith. The picture is a picture of prayer, but it appears to be just a conversation between God and Abraham. And this conversation presumes a very close relationship between God and Abraham. And he is also described, Abraham is, as God's friend in the Bible. And it is the setup for the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, and it's in Genesis chapter 18. Now, there has just been an encounter with Abraham and Sarah about the child of promise. God has told him about that. The Lord has appeared as a man. He's got two guys with him, probably two angels, and he's getting ready to leave. And the Lord speaks to the angels beginning at verse 17 in chapter 18. Let's read verses 17 to 22 together. The Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do, seeing that Abraham shall become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall bless themselves by him? No, for I have chosen him, that he may charge his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, so that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has promised him." Then the Lord said, "Because the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and their sin is very grave, I will go down to see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry which has come to me, and if not, I will know." So the man turned from there and went towards Sodom, but Abraham stood before the Lord. Now, this is where the prayer starts. Actually, in terms of Abraham. Now, prayer is basically talking and listening. It's communication with the Lord. It's a dialogue. And that conversation is based upon their relationship. Read with me verses 23 to 25. Then Abraham drew near and said, Wilt thou indeed destroy the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there are 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou then destroy the place and not spare it for the 50 righteous who are in it? Far be it from thee to do such a thing, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous fare as the wicked. Far be that from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do what is right? And he's talking there, and he's going on. Now, this is actually, if you think about it, it's a pretty gutty conversation that Abraham's carrying on here, don't you think? But notice that the Lord is listening to Abraham. And he is influenced by Abraham. Why? Well, it's because they have a relationship. Read with me verses 26 through 31. And the Lord said, If I find at Sodom 50 righteous in the city, I will spare the whole place for their sake. Abraham answered, Behold, I have taken upon myself to speak to the Lord, I who am but dust and ashes. Suppose 5 of the 50 righteous are lacking. Wilt thou destroy the whole city for lack of 5? And he said, I will not destroy it if I find 45 there. Again he spoke to him and said, Suppose 40 are found there. And he answered, For the sake of 40 I will not do it. Then he said, Oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Suppose 30 are found there. And he answered, I will not do it if I find 30 there. He said, Behold, I have taken upon myself to speak to the Lord. Suppose 20 are found there. And he answered, For the sake of 20, I will not destroy it. Now, I hope you can see that this is a conversation between God and Abraham. Now, prayer is conversation. Now, I hope you also see that Abraham is exercising influence on God. God is listening to him and responding. And as Abraham intercedes on behalf of the people in Sodom and Gomorrah, okay, verse 32, he says, Oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak again, but this once. Read with me verses 32 and 33. Then he said, Oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak again, but this once. Suppose 10 are found there. And he answered, For the sake of 10, I will not destroy it. And the Lord went his way when he had finished speaking to Abraham. And Abraham returned to his place. Now Sodom and Gomorrah are destroyed because the Lord does not find 10 righteous men in the city. But I need to read one more verse to you, or join with me, Genesis 19:29, because it is a very important verse that goes with this conversation prayer time that Abraham is having. Let's go. So it was that when God destroyed the cities of the valley, God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in which Lot dwelt. Prayer is communication. Communication is like a conversation, talking and listening with God, and it's usually based upon a relationship. This picture in Abraham is a vivid example of several principles of prayer. And prayer is like talking or listening to another person. Now, any true communication is a two-way process. It's a dialogue, not a monologue. We all experience from time to time how unsatisfying or boring it is to have a conversation with somebody when you have nothing in common, there's no mutual interest, words may be exchanged, but there's really no meaning to it. You can pretend to listen, but not really listen. And eventually, the lack of communication becomes evident. On the other hand, when we experience a genuine talk with somebody else, even though it may be about something of really little importance, if both people are interested in it, communication can be very satisfying. Now listen to me. It's not the importance of the subject that matters. so much as the depth of interest the people have. You can be talking about the conditions of the world, or you can be talking about fly fishing. It's the interest that gives the conversation significance. So in prayer, that is communication with the Lord. The first requirement before it becomes a two-way process is that we have to have a genuine, real interest in the things that the Lord is interested in. It's a matter of getting off our agenda and getting onto His agenda. And we all have an agenda. Otherwise, a one-way mechanical effort takes place, a monologue takes place, sort of like prayer in the church a lot of the times. Actually, you know, when we do the kind of rote prayer that we do, it's like going down a checklist, you might say, out of a sense of duty. Prayer is communication based upon a relationship. Communication is a two-way process. Communication is also has to do with mutual understanding. People need sufficient dialogue back and forth with each other to be certain that they understand each other. With the Lord also, our communication should result in some kind of mutual understanding. We begin to understand how God works in this world, in our own lives, what's important to the Lord. Now, in this story in Genesis, God says, "Will I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do? Because he's going to be a great nation." And he answers himself. He says, "No." And essentially saying, Abraham needs to understand my ways and what I am doing in this world. And God was providing mutual understanding, you might say. He talks to Abraham. Abraham listens. Abraham turns around, and as he begins his conversation, his intercessory prayer, you might say, for Sodom and Gomorrah, by sharing his understanding of his place. He says he's dust and ashes. He also shared the expectations of God. He understands God as being just. Mutual understanding. And that's what's also being communicated here. And in prayer, we really need to be open and honest in our expressions of feelings and our thoughts, in our effort to understand ourselves, to be understood by the Lord, and to understand Him. If we are not sufficiently open and honest with ourselves, we may not be able to distinguish between, well, our inner voice, you might say, in terms of doubt or fear or hope or guilt or whatever it may be. We may not be able to distinguish that between the voice of God. And if we don't understand ourselves, we will not be able to understand His will for us and maybe what we are or people we might be interceding for. Mutual understanding will not occur, and therefore no true communication. Prayer is communication, and it's based upon a relationship. Communication is a two-way process based upon mutual understanding, which results in mutual influence. In this conversation in Genesis, it is a picture. Abraham is able to influence how God is going to deal with the sin in these two cities. Why is Abraham able to exercise influence with God? Well, the reason is because Abraham himself has allowed God to influence him. Now, if you read the whole story of Abraham, time and time again, God tells Abraham to do something, and, well, he does it. Abraham allows God to influence the direction of his life. So what happens here is that because Abraham has allowed God to influence him, God turns around and he listens to him, and he's influenced by Abraham. True communication results in mutual influence. When people truly understand each other, they are open to each other's influence. But until a person feels understood, he cannot be influenced, because he feels that whatever is told to him doesn't quite pertain to his own unique situation and circumstance. Now think about it. What I am saying to you right now is actually communicated based upon our relationship. If you don't like me, or you don't think I will listen to you and respond to you, chances are you can't hear what I say as relating to you at all. If you don't know me, I communicate to you, but it's based only upon what you pick up as I speak to you today and your relationship with God. It might be very superficial unless your relationship with God communicates the actual message. True communication has to do with mutual influence. Let me give you an example. Suppose your child is sick and you call your doctor, but before you feel you have accurately described the symptoms and got the doctor's attention, before you have accurately done all that stuff, he gives you a prescription and he gives you some advice, and he didn't seem to hear you. And you can't help but feel some distrust toward his advice. And the reason is, it wasn't based upon understanding. Does this mean that communicating with the Lord or prayer is a process of mutual influence, that not only I am influenced by the Lord, but the Lord is also influenced by me? Well, the truth is, I believe that. I believe it means exactly that. The Scripture have many examples of how the Lord's behavior towards us is influenced by our behavior towards Him. Here in Genesis, we have a good example of how Abraham, in prayer, even though it looks like just a conversation, because that is essentially what Abraham is doing. He's talking to God, he's listening to God, and he influences how God will deal with Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, it doesn't change the final outcome, except in terms of his nephew Lot. Now, that's very important, because more than likely, that's the only reason Abraham was doing this. One negative example of influence is in Isaiah 29, verses 13 to 14. Now, let's read it together. And the Lord said, because this people draw near with their mouth and honor me with their lips, while their hearts are far from me, and their fear of me is a commandment of men learned by rote, therefore, behold, I will again do marvelous things with this people, wonderful and marvelous. And the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the discernment of their discerning men shall be hid. In other words, God says, since I have no influence over these people, they have no influence over me, and I will bring them to nothing. And Jesus echoes that same message in Matthew 7:21. Let's read it together. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. In other words, unless influence is exercised, and it happens through obedience and understanding what God wants, then Jesus will declare to them, I never knew you. I never knew you. Depart from me, you evildoers. And it's very apparent through Scripture that Jesus works with us and through us according to our response to Him in terms of faith. And essentially, His influence on us has to do with that faith relationship. The more we're willing to be obedient, to be in relationship, to be His servant, to listen to God, in terms of how we live our lives and what we're called to do, the more we function in mutual understanding and influence, the more we have in terms of prayer life, which is conversation with God, dialogue. Now, I need to say that this does not determine your salvation or not. We are saved by grace in Jesus Christ. But in terms of this life and being disciples, it's very important for us to realize that there is a relationship between our faith and our trust in Jesus and how our actions influence His behavior towards us. Now, the reason that God responded to Abraham was because of the relationship, not because of the prayer so much or the conversation, but he had to do the prayer and the conversation. You notice at the end of it, he says, I'm going to talk to you one more time, Lord. And after that, it was done. So in prayer, the crucial dimension is the relationship and the conversation. Communicating with the Lord is similar to communicating with other people. It's not so much a matter of words as it is of relationships. Now, all of us have been in situations, and you may be one right now, in which because relationships are strained, we have to be very careful about the words that we use for fear of giving offense or causing a scene or being misunderstood. And in such situations, how easy it is for us for further misunderstandings to take place. People become suspicious, distrustful, so that anything that is said is an offense rather than listening to the meaning behind the words. Now, on the other hand, all of us have been in situations where the relationship is very unified and harmonious, and in those relationships, there's mutual understanding and influence, and sometimes the relationships are so close that you don't really have to talk to a whole lot. It's a nod or a grunt or a smile or a wink or a one-word communication. Now, I've also been in situations, so have you probably, where the relationship was so tenuous that a chapter of words wouldn't communicate meaning. I found that meanings are not found always in words. They are found in people. Meanings are not found in words. They are found in people. In the Old Testament, Father God condemned those who draw near to him with their lips. Jesus said the same thing in the New Testament. People who draw near to God with their lips, but their hearts are far from him, are condemned. In other words, they may say they are interested in the Lord's ways and his purposes, but their hearts are on other things. And the relationship, in a lot of ways, is one of strangers. They are strangers to God. And as Jesus said, I don't know you. Key to the relationship is trust. That's why throughout the Bible, God is continually asking people, do you trust me? Do you trust me to take care of you? Do you trust me to provide for you? Do you trust me to protect you? Time after time, God asks, do you trust me? And the reason is because God is smarter than we are. Heaven forbid. He knows a true relationship is based upon trust. Trust is born by having had experiences with each other that are trustworthy or honorable. You know, if I make a promise to a person and don't keep it, then trust is not established. A strain is placed on the relationship. A literal, though unseen, barrier gets erected between myself and that person. That's why Jesus said, don't make promises unless you intend to keep them. Now, if I repent and I go to him seeking forgiveness, if he's willing to forgive, then the barrier can be removed. But if I try to rationalize within myself, that is, if I lie to myself, it doesn't matter if I break this promise. Anyway, he was untrue to me at such and such a time. And the barrier gets harder and it gets stronger. Prayer is communication with God based upon mutual understanding and influence. And the foundation of that relationship is trust. Do you trust God? Are you willing to be influenced by him? So in all of this, prayer is talking and listening to God. It's that simple. Our relationship with God is most often based upon how we handle our earthly relationships. So let me kind of wrap this up for you in terms of your relationships with family or friends or associates in business or just people in general. If prayer is communication, it's a two-way process then so is our communication with one another. As in any conversation, we talk, and then we listen, and then we express ourselves again in terms of what we heard. And if in our conversations we pretend to listen, but we continue talking along the lines that we're interested in, we're giving no response to that which has been said by another person. You know what you call that? A monologue. You can live your life as a monologue if you want. You're always talking, never listening. You're always talking with your life and never listening with your life. Most of us do not listen to understand. We just listen to reply. Most of us don't live our lives to understand. We just live our lives to reply. We do the same thing with God. We don't listen to understand. We listen to reply. We don't live our lives to understand God's ways. We live our lives to make our point to God. You see, all of us here, we're all filled with our own rightness, our own autobiography. And so most of us, if not all of us, tend to talk collective monologues and live lives that are really monologues in nature. Tell me if this statement is not true of you as well as me. If you really want to interact effectively with me, that is to influence me, you first have to understand me. Is that not true of you as well? Wouldn't you say that to someone else about yourself? People don't care what you know until they know you care. Isn't that true? Don't you say this in your heart to other people or to the world? Unless you are influenced by my uniqueness, I'm not going to be influenced by your advice. So unless I am influenced by your uniqueness, you're not going to be influenced by my advice, right? This is true of our relationship with one another, and it is also true of our relationship with God. So there's more to prayer than meets the eye. It's more than just words. Prayer is communication that is based upon a relationship built upon mutual understanding and influence and trust. And if that is true, then this message is more than just words. It can be a message to you and for you. But it's based upon a relationship, maybe between you and me, or between you and God, which needs to be built on mutual understanding. The more I look at prayer, the more I am aware that it is my relationship to God, as He influences my life, that makes prayer really come alive. How much do you let God influence your actions, your thoughts, your ways? Obedience to God is just answering the question, do you trust me? And it's answering it in the affirmative. Let's pray. Lord, I ask that you would speak to all of us and that we all would have ears to listen. Not just to reply, but to take to heart your word for each of us. In Jesus' name.